With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Welcome to another edition of Beyond the Baseline Inside Fordham Basketball. I'm Don Dwyer. We've got a lot on tap for you this week, from the roster scare from Friday, a recruiting update for the Class of 26, and my interview with Dan Blaine, former player from the 03 to 07 teams. A treat to interview one of the nicest guys on the roster and a heck of a walk-on player during his time on campus. So let's get into it. Fans across the country were confused on Friday when they saw Zariq Nutter, grad student transfer from Georgia State, not on the active roster on the Fordham Athletic website under the men's basketball tab. This was shown to me around 9 a.m. on Friday. The fans were looking for answers, and then by 1 in the afternoon, his number and that bio appeared on the website and looked like everything was good. So last year, he averaged 14 points and 3 rebounds a game. Looks to play a key role on the offense, and seeing that scare, it made me scared. I wonder if it made all of you scared as well. I know I asked, what's happening? Why now? Why in September? Who else is in trouble? Turns out, nothing big at the moment, just a big sigh of relief, but had to touch on it because it was something that just caught me off guard. And if you follow me on socials, I did a poll about the non-conference schedule and asked, do you like Fordham's schedule in November and December? Yes, no, and the third option, I'm pissed, just to have fun with things. 30% said yes, 55% said no, and 15% said I'm pissed. I'm in the no category, if you want my opinion, just because I would have liked it a little bit stronger on the competition side of things. Maybe playing a Big Ten team, maybe playing an ACC, SEC team, or even a better in-season tournament where you would have maybe a little bit higher competition in it with all the teams in a tournament. I want to win, don't get me wrong, but I also want this team prepared for the A-10 schedule. That's always a gauntlet, and to be honest with you, everyone, I think they're going to beat up on each other, and it's not going to be a clear-cut favorite on who's going to win the league. And I'm all about the fans, so here's a response from my good friend Billy Newhoff on X. He's a Fordham alum. He said, quote, in a vacuum, it's technically very bad. But I'm a believer that winning, and especially winning at home, is good. Good for getting fans in Rose Hill, and good optics for casual fans that just check in. Metrics will hate us, but non-con strength of schedule will not be a make or break for us for a bid. Yeah, he's right about that. So appreciate the feedback and love to hear from the fans. And I'll always give you a shout out if you want to get your name out there and want to give your opinion. All about that. I give mine every single week. Next up on the recruiting trail, Desmond Bullutt Jr. made a visit to campus at Fordham this weekend. Fanstake.com says Desmond Bullutt Jr., a 6'3" shooting guard from Katz Academy in Massachusetts, a top 40 shooting guard in the class of 2026, stands out for his all-around game, combining scoring at all three levels with strong playmaking and lockdown defense, averaged 12 points, 3 rebounds, and 1 assist in the EYBL circuit. That's the AAU leagues. He's praised for his ability to create for himself and his teammates, his high basketball IQ, and relentless energy on both ends. His leadership and unselfish style, modeled after Darius Garland and Chris Paul, make him a high major prospect with offers from multiple D1 programs, fitting well on teams seeking a poised, versatile guard who impacts the game beyond the stats. This summer, he had offers from George Mason, Quinnipiac, Rhode Island, Richmond, San Diego, Siena, St. Louis, and UMass. That was all according to Zags blog. So yeah, you see all the A-10 programs giving him a look, and nice to see Fordham in there. Here's the key about that prospect report was the fact that it said that he would fit well on teams seeking a poised, versatile guard who wants to impact the game beyond the stats. That's the key to me. You want a guy who does a little bit of everything and be that Swiss Army knife and takes care of not only offense, but defense as well. I'm a strong proponent of a strong defender. You can work on the offense, but if you can find a strong defender, that would be the key. So good right there. So I like to get updates on the prospects that might be coming to campus. So there's one right there. If you want to get your first look at the team, here's an update from the Maroon Club. On October 2nd, the school is opening the doors to Rose Hill Gym for a special day of Fordham basketball. Come watch both the women's and men's team on the court as they gear up for the season. Between practices, you'll have the opportunity to connect with the student athletes and engage with the coaching staffs. Here's the timing for the schedule of events. 11 a.m. is the women's practice. Then 12:45, you'll be able to meet the teams. And then 1:30, the men's team has that open practice. Now, here is the main key. I'm going to put an alert out there. You have to register at the Maroon Club website or that email that you may have received in your inbox. I repeat, this is a register event. You have to RSVP. You can't just show up and watch the team. So I wanted everyone to know that. All right, next up is my interview with Fordham Rams forward Dan Blaine. His story coming up next. My next guest is a guy that was a part of a good run of basketball at the Rose Hill Gym. He played in 33 games from 04 to 07, got one start and made the most of it. A 6'5 guard from Alexandria, Virginia, none other than the great Dan Blaine. Dan, I also have to say you're one of the nicest human beings, especially when it came to me as a ball boy and in the layup line, always saying, "What's up, guys? How are you doing?" You always put a smile on my face anytime we were there for games. So welcome.
I appreciate that. And I think that relationship carries on, because when you emailed me to jump on the podcast, I was happy to do it.
Heck yeah. So my first question is, how did you end up going to Fordham? I saw you were on the roster at the start of your sophomore year, played high school ball at Bishop Ireton. How did this all happen?
Sure. So coming out of high school, so somewhere between junior and senior year of high school, I was set up to go to a bunch of camps, increase my visibility, playing in the WCAC, which is the best high school basketball conference in the country, certainly helps. And then I blew out my ankle completely and had to miss the entire summer. So that slowed things down a little bit, but was having a lot of conversations with D2 schools for football and D3 schools for football and basketball. My first experience in Fordham was my sister. My oldest sister, Mary Kate, is class of 99. And I loved Rose Hill, loved the city, wanted that to kind of be my thing. And as I thought about my career post high school, I came pretty quickly to the realization that any career in athletics would be ending when I got my diploma, and that I wanted to be somewhere that if you blew your knee out first day on campus and can never play again, where would I want to spend my 4 years? So that was in the Boogie Down Bronx. I actually joined the team freshman year, walked on at 4:30 or 5 a.m. Tryout. And one of the things that helped me, and I only learned this from Coach Witt my senior year, is that he had actually called Coach Twente DeMatha, along with Corey McCray, Travis Lyons, and DeMatha's in the WCAC, mm-hmm. And he had called other high school coaches played against and asked them about me. So that's how he kind of got a comfort with bringing me on the squad. I unfortunately got sick my freshman year of college with a I got mono, so I had to step away from the team for a little while, and then came back. I don't think I appeared in any games that year, but the following year had my first appearance. So walked into the basketball office, obviously a new coach, and Coach Wick coming over from Wagner, introduced myself, and probably stopped by the office once, twice a week, up until the tryout dates were set, and tried out, got the call a few hours later, and I was thrilled. It was really a great experience, and one that I'm grateful to have had. The people I've met, the experiences. I'm a college basketball nut, so it was really, really neat.
But you played almost all sports, it sounds like. You know, you said football. You know, was basketball your main passion, or did you, you know, basically dabble in everything growing up?
Yeah, basketball was always my passion. And the nice thing, I had actually talked to the football coaches as well. I had somebody on the staff at Fordham went to McNamara, which is also a WCAC school, and had reached out. But the thing about basketball is at least every day in basketball practice, you're playing basketball, right? If you're sitting on the sidelines in football practice, you're just sitting on the sidelines, not really doing that much. So, and basketball is my passion. It's what I'm most excited about. So it was just it worked out great and had a significant impact in my life ever since.
Go back to that walk-on tryout. What was that like? If you remember that day.
Walk-on practice, I remember it well. It was downstairs in Lombardi, 5 a.m. We all had to come in, write down our names, high school GPA, and SAT score. And then we started just running. They just had us running and running and running and running. A little bit of skill work, some basic drills. There's probably about 12 guys there. So it was, you know, I felt pretty good about it, but at the end of the day, you never know. You don't know what the team needs, new coach and everything else. But again, shout out to the WCAC. That was, again, what I learned senior year, what kind of sealed the deal. My experience there playing against extremely high-level talent gave coach and the staff comfort that I'd be able to just be a helpful participant in practice.
So, like you said, there's just so much new. You being on campus, brand new, you know, new environment, new coach. Did you expect, you know, what did you expect going into those years? Because they were awesome. There was a lot of fun.
We did. Yeah. You know what? I had no clue what to expect. I was so excited just to be on the team. It was cool to meet, you know, guys with shared experiences from all different backgrounds. And biggest concern day one was trying to keep up for the fans who go way back. Guys like Mike Hand and Mushan Yakosi were 100% full-grown strong men. And I guarded Mushan every day in practice that freshman year. I think for probably about 6 weeks straight, between my shoulder and my elbow, on both arms, they were just black and blue with bruises. But there's something, without being too corny, I think there's a, what I enjoyed about it was the life lessons. There's always somebody more talented than you. There's always someone better than you. But if you're on the court with them, you can either choose to be on the court with them and figure it out, or take your ball and go home. Right. And I would rather be the least talented person in the gym than the most talented person in the gym. Just try to bring in the effort and basketball IQ and hard work as an X factor. But really just be a good teammate too. Right. It isn't, practices weren't about me showing off in any way or doing anything, obviously, because I couldn't have. Right. And any real capability, but it was about helping the team get better, putting my best effort forward, remembering the scouting report and the other team's plays and trying to run them as well as you can and things like that. And that where the only way you can contribute to the team is when no one really is looking. One, I think it's a beautiful thing. Two, I think it, you know, requires you to get your ego squared away pretty quick. The first basketball game I never started was my first basketball game in Fordham. Right? I'd never not started. I'd never not been a key player on a team. So those life lessons, and I was excited for that. Right? I could have chosen a different path at a number of great schools on the D3 side and had my career look much different. But I would not trade my experience for anything.
So going back to what you said, you know, Mushon and Haynes, yeah, just true, you know, just body built, insane, like true athletes right there. What, like you were mentioning, scouting reports and all that, what was it like being a D1 athlete back then? Your goal was basically, you know, scouting report, focus, play like this type of team. What was your role? What was that like?
It was fun. Yeah, it was really just keeping up. You know, that first four, I didn't do fall workouts my freshman year. A reminder that the great Thomas Tuberty loves to remind me of, because apparently they were not very enjoyable that year. Though I don't think any of them were at any falls when I was on campus. But it's getting your body right and paying attention, jumping in for the next drill and trying to be the best teammate you can. Energy is a major point, and that was a huge seller for Coach. Coach is a big energy guy, the bench always had to be talking. So you have to be locked in. You had to be locked in, and that was a part I really enjoyed.
That's awesome. And did you guys, you know, what was that relationship, you know, with you guys on maybe that B or C squad? What was that relationship like?
We had a good group. It was due to the color of the jerseys we wore, because our practice jerseys were maroon on one side and white on the other. We were the white team. And so proud member for really those 3 years, sophomore, junior, senior. And it was fun. Regardless of who was more skilled or not, at the end of the day, when five guys are playing five guys, you're playing ball and you're getting after it. So there is that, those little wins, you know, the little gamified actions of, you know, white teams up four with 60 seconds to play, they're going to press and foul and, you know, and you're playing real live experiences. No one's watching, but your teammates are, right? And how you handle that pressure and how you grow and how you work with your teammates. You know, one of the things, particularly junior and senior year, and really senior year, when I was, you know, it was just me and Dom as seniors, and I was on the white team and working with guys like Dave Boykin and certainly Brenton Butler, he was getting plenty of reps, and Matty Beck and Big Luke. You know, we would have some, you know, Chris Bethel when he was sitting out and just practicing. He was up with us, Ryan Munson. You know, we got competitive. We'd go after it. I guarded, you know, along with Mushon, I guarded BD every day for 3 years, right? We had great competition, right? That's a challenge in itself, as his career has clearly played out. I have seen the basketball talent and greatness firsthand, both from folks we certainly have played against, but I'm grateful for the opportunity to have done that day to day in practice.
Do you have one memory to share with us where it was like, you know, something you never expect during a practice or something you did? Do you have any good memories to share?
Oh, gosh. I got a number of memories to share in a recorded format that will go public. I'll dampen that down a little bit and just share a few other highlights. One was freshman year, and it was more of a memory because I remember calling my dad. And again, WCAC basketball is real, right? I remember calling him one day after practice. I was like, Dad, the ball goes to the hoop. And 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, there's a good shot coming on the other end of the offense. Like, we're moving, right? And that was kind of a nice kind of welcome to experience. Had a great one of my last practices. You know, we used to do the charge drill, which was a Coach Witt favorite, and had a lot of fun in that. I know my number of teammates. I'll send this around. There was a fall workout that we have named Made Man Monday, because we had a great strength coach, Jason George, and a couple guys showed up late. He probably didn't sleep too well that night, and we ended up in Lombardi, and we had a rough morning. But yeah, a lot of humbling things that happened in practice. You know, it's like don't tell me you're a basketball player if you haven't gotten dunked on before. But then if you catch a guy in practice coming or going, those are some things too. But yeah, I think definitely the test of your physical and mental mettle against that would probably be the best shareable stories.
Nice. That's what I like to hear. And what made those teams so special back then? I mean, you mentioned a bunch of names right now. I mean, you talk about that core class of BD, Stout, Green, Bins, KA, but there were some really important upperclassmen like Jermaine Anderson, Corey McRae, you mentioned early, and Dom Osi, you know, with you. Well, what were they like as teammates?
Yeah, great. I mean, we had a good when people ask me what I miss, obviously, you know, it's not gameplay. The locker room. We had a good locker room. Guys who kind of knew their roles. You know, Corey McRae transferred over halfway through my freshman year, and he still had to sit out. So he was on the white team with me early on. Great leader. Great contributor to the team, certainly on the court, but I think the leadership is number one. Rock, obviously extremely talented, hardworking, more of the quiet leader type, and that fit in well too. And we liked each other. There wasn't, you know, maybe you hear stories of the prior era under the previous coach before Witt, where guys were kind of fragmented off and had their corners in the locker room. You know, everybody liked each other, and we got along. We were competitive. But, yeah, no, really grateful for what we were able to do that year. You know, really sophomore year with Rock taking over as a leader, Corey stepping up. Great guys. Really great guys.
I love Corey's coaching now, and you know, well, actually, one of my favorite moments was, I think it was his senior day, and I don't think he missed from deep. It was like St. Jones or something like that. And he just didn't miss. And he was just such a good leader, and he was a good shooter, and I felt like he was just a great teammate. That's some of my memories. What's some of your favorite memories, you know, from watching those teams?
It's funny, and you sent your email with some of those questions, so I was thinking back, specifically Rose Hill. One of the first has to be Kevin Anderson's dunk to beat Xavier. Yep. In a last second moment. That was a big win. They were all still freshmen, and especially for Kevin, the strong, silent type. Just to come in and I mean, it was a impressive dunk. I think the camera, longtime cameraman at Fordham, got a great shot of the bench. All of us holding each other back. That was a great one. Certainly was neat when the St. Joe's team came in that first year when they were ranked number one. We held them tight. I'm pretty sure Martelli had to call the first timeout after half. I think Rock comes down the court. Second half, so it's away from the bench. They're away from the bench, and throws up, you know, two dribbles over the half court, throws a ball up, and Mark Jarrell Wright catches it from behind, dunks on the back line of the 2-3 zone there. That was the same game Rock got hurt with Delonte West. You know, senior, you had that thing rocking junior and senior year. You'll remember that, right? And that's why I was encouraged to see, you know, the unfortunately short-lived Rose Thrill moments. But, you know, we had that student section rocking and going, and it was kind of the place to be. you know, I certainly remember some dog fights, the snowed out Rhode Island game on campus. Yeah, just so, I mean, I could go on and on. The game we shut out, shut down Fairfield on offense, or I think in real time over 60 minutes, they didn't score or something like that. You know, a lot of very good memories on campus. And certainly, I would say at the gym would be the one memory that I'm sure you're going to ask me about in a little bit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But I'm getting goosebumps just even, you know, thinking about those games. I mean, the Rhode Island game for me, the snowed one, top tier memory, just because there was no one in the stands and it was a snow game. And yeah. I'm even surprised it even went off. You know, I get goosebumps thinking about this stuff just because of, like you said, how loud the gym is and everything. You know, what makes that gym so special for you?
You know, I think any of the comments, and certainly everybody's allowed their own opinion, but I am not a Rose Hill hater. I'm a Rose Hill lover. Is it the finest gymnasium in all of college basketball? No. But I will remember, again, back to that St. Joe's game, when they were hanging over the Raptors. We could barely hear Coach in a timeout. And Coach was one you could pretty much always hear. The floor can literally shake, right? I mean, when you get it rocking in there, it's a bandbox. And, you know, that is an advantage. You know, certainly we have the challenges of being a destination city. So, you know, you get the Dayton folks to come out. You get the Davidson folks to come up. You know, fans want to be there. But it's, you know, I am pro Rose Hill for a lot of reasons. And I'm a big believer in, don't talk to me about a new arena unless you're selling out the current one. So I am very pro Rose Hill. We just got to get, you know, you got to get the right Jimmys and Joes in there. And certainly the right leadership, which I'm very hopeful and supportive of Coach Matt Pio and the staff he put together.
And I just want to touch on one thing before we talk about your most amazing memory on campus. Just you mentioned the floor shaking, and you know I was on the floor on the baseline all the time on those key games. And when the student section is jumping and they're screaming defense, and the other team's bringing up the ball, you could literally feel the ball shake. And I remember just even the dribbling the ball with the floor shaking, like that was a hard thing to do. And if you are not used to it, road teams would just shudder on offense. It'd be turnover after turnover. And I don't think people realize that's what happens when that place gets rocking.
Correct. People don't, you know, think about the, talk about another great memory. I was not in uniform. But the great Brenton Butler, shout out Bobby, that St. John's game, when he went off and on the court after, I mean that's why they won't play it. They won't play us in Rose Hill,
right?
They want to take that to the nice confines of the Garden, where they're comfy and cozy. You don't want it when we got the squad to compete, and St. John's is doing great. Ed Cole is a true talent. We were grateful for his time with us in the Bronx, and he's going to has done and will continue to do great things in Queens. But it is an ultimate home court advantage. But yeah, that St. John's game was probably a highlight memory when I wasn't in Jersey.
Yes, sir, I agree with you on that. And let's go to when you were back in Jersey. That senior day for you, March 3rd, 2007. It was against Temple. And here's the thing I love about Coach Witt. Like, okay, senior days nowadays, you know, you put the guy in, the walk-on in, he plays 30 seconds, they take him out. You played 7 minutes, got your first and only bucket in the win. Just bring it all back for me, because this is just awesome.
Yeah, so this is some it was awesome. I'll take you back to the day before. So that's where the actual, and this is not certainly a widely known backstory beyond the locker room and the coaching staff. So agreed. I think Coach, you know, Vita certainly was playing. Nick Vita was certainly playing more his senior year anyway. But Tubbs and Vita started. You know, Coach was a good guy. Is a good guy, right? He respected toughness and grit and energy, and he would reward you for that, right? So he also liked was certainly adept at the mental aspect of things. And I had great support, you know, that junior class, the guys behind me who carried us, Dunstan, Sal, Sebastian, Mike, Kev, you know, they were excited for me too. That's neat. When your teammates are pumped, it's senior game, Blaine's going to start. And they were encouraging me to switch my jersey color over, right, from white to red, because I was going to be getting reps as starters. And I kept that white jersey on. I was not switching colors anytime soon. And the high-level version was Coach took an opportunity in practice. Again, it was like the walkthrough practice the day before. Basically, to talk about the importance of the game. And it was a very important game to the schedule, to the seeding. And certainly while stated that while I'd made some contributions, maybe I hadn't earned the right to start, and told me I wasn't going to start. So, and more specifically, made it known to the entire team that I wasn't going to start. And that senior day was not about me, and that we need to focus on the task at hand. So my teammates who loved and cared for me a great deal, you know, were a little bummed by that. And certainly had some of their thoughts, maybe in the locker room when the doors were closed. I gave a ring to my parents and I was like, hey, I'm not starting. Don't say anything. Like, just keep it cool. My head's down. Here we go. So I was a little bummed, but you know what? I had a great career playing there, right? Like, Coach gave me the opportunity. We didn't need to win that game. He's in charge. Keep it moving, right? Get your ego out of the way. So I lock in and, you know, certainly my teammates, a lot of classmates in the stands from all different, you know, walks of life and campus activities for folks I knew. And we're getting done. We're probably like 3-4 minutes. We stop to do the pictures and then we go back out for layup lines real quick. And Trav comes over to me, Travis Lyons, you know, gives me a handshake and he's like, hey man, you ready? I'm like, yeah, you know, Coach, let's go. I'm ready. He's like, all right, well, get ready. I'm like, no, I'm ready. Focus on the team. And he's like, yeah, just real quick, just get ready. Make sure you like your shoes are tied and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. So Coach sat the original five starters down at the bench, had the whiteboard out. He actually didn't typically draw on the whiteboard. He had those little dot guys that he draw around, little magnetic pieces, which were quite a thing to pick up on the rare occasion that Coach might throw it in a game or in practice. But he sat down and he said, starts talking, throws his pad down and says, this starting lineup doesn't look right. Sebastian, get up. I've never seen, and Sebastian was easily the most athletic guy on the team. I think one of the most athletic things he ever did was fly out of his chair. And I took his spot in the starting lineup. And it was great. You know, the team was pumped. It kind of gave that energy. I was floating. Don't really, you know, certainly remember some of it. A funny moment before we started, you know, we go out, the five of us, and, you know, BD is going to take the jump. They had a big kid, they had a kind of big white kid at Temple, who I think was guarding me. And, but they're all looking at their assistant coaches being like, who the heck is this kid? And like, who's guarding? And they're, you know, I remember the assistant coaches being like, don't worry. He'll be out of here in 30 seconds. Don't worry. In short order, I wasn't, right? We hit the ground running pretty quickly. And I knew Dunstan said to me as we walked on the court, he said, man, get ready. I was like, dude, take it easy. Let's just get this stuff moving. Let's start hot. I'm going to stay in here if we start hot a little bit. And we did. We hit some shots, got a couple turnovers. And the play before, I scored. I knew he was looking. Obviously, ball went in the post. Dunstan's guy's on him, and my guy acted like I was a ghost, goes to double, which I would have done too, right? It's what you should do. And I knew, you know, he made a move, maybe kicked it out. We got a shot from like Marcus or something. But I knew he's looking over his shoulder. I played with this guy for 3 years. I know, and I know him, right? Forget basketball and everything else. Brian Thompson's a great man, a great person. And I was like, he's going to want to get this for me. So, I mean, like it was yesterday, I'm low block. He grabs it, takes, you know, shoulder one way, drops it over his left shoulder to me. Funny enough, you know, if they have video clips, I'd probably give one of the weakest layups I've ever shot in my life. You know, I could very easily dunk off 2 feet and all that stuff. I was so in my head. I'm like, if I get blocked or if this thing doesn't go in, like, that's a bad, like, the energy in this arena is going to shift, right? So I threw that thing high glass, and then I can't say I saw it go through the rim, because the next thing that came to my mind was Coach and what he would have thought if I would have waited to watch it and not gotten back on defense. And the subsequent days, you know, we certainly had won and we were getting ready for the tournament. We would watch that on film. I was the deepest of 10 guys on the court when I shot the ball, and I beat everyone back to half court, which I think might have been the most athletic thing I've ever done. So energy was high. You know, I had missed, I think I'd only taken maybe 3 shots in my career. We had given Bonnie's, we'd beaten them pretty good the game before Temple. It was like a weekday game. And I had a nice baseline shot. It just rimmed out. And I had come to, particularly after Coach had said what he'd said the day before practice, I was like, I'm probably not going to get a shot. But I did. It was a great event. Got downstairs into the old Ramskeller, and the great Ryan Rupko, who was calling our games at the time, jumped on FUV, WFUV with him. And it was just a really neat experience. And it's funny, fast forward to graduation, all the ceremonies and everything like that. I remember handful plus of guys and girls, classmates of mine, coming up and talking about that game and sharing, hey man, I've been coming to games for 2-3 years. You know, we thought it was super cool what happened and everything like that. So it was neat. It was just a really, really cool experience. Grateful to Coach. Maybe could have done without the trepidation going into it. But as I always say, and I mean this lovingly, he is and was crazy like a fox, and he knew what he was doing. He knew how to motivate people. So there you have it. Dan Blaine, 2 career points, but a memorable two. I would offer, not a lot of people talk about the same 2 points over and over again, but it was a well-regarded, that gym was loud. That was the loudest the gym ever got that season. And that's not an opinion when I hit that bucket, the place went crazy, and it was just really neat.
That is the, I'm so happy you told that story, because I got goosebumps, and only in Coach Witt fashion would it go down that way. You know, one memorable one for me is I think the year before was Tom's Tabridi's one. And the reason why I say it's a top memory for me in the Rose Hill Gym is because LaSalle was a top 3 team. Steve Smith, all A-10 player of the year 2 years in a row, and up and coming and everything. And he plays Tom like 6 minutes. And it just motivated. Yeah. Seems like your situation as well. And I'm like, you know, that just doesn't happen anymore. And it propelled you guys to that great year. And I'm just, oh man, it's just such a great memory, because, you know, your hard work and your dedication and all that, like, you know, these guys like yourself put in so much effort in the gym. To hear stories like that come to fruition, it's just a beautiful thing. I mean, what did it feel like just even talking about that for you?
I'll be pumped the rest of the day. I mean, it's warm memories, right? I have you can't see, because this is a I'll show you after we get done filming. But you know, I've got a couple. I'm doing this interview in my office at work, and got a few things from the day, actually, and my roommate junior senior year, the great Marty Puello, who was often seat 1A in the student section, put together a really nice frame with a couple pictures from the game, me, my parents, Coach, the write-up in the Ram, a ticket from it. So just really neat. And then you know, close out the year, and I'm actually looking at it. Coach made an award up for me. He called it the Most Valuable Senior Award. And he just took a moment at our end of year banquet with just the team to kind of just, you know, share appreciation for my efforts over the time with the program. And that was meaningful. And I was grateful for that. Just to be, you know, you think, again, nobody really notices anything, but when the guy in charge takes a second to say, "Hey man, thanks a lot for everything," that's nice.
That's amazing. And well-deserved, by the way. You deserve everything. You know, traveling as a student, you know, we're talking about the home games. The road games probably were tough over the years. I feel like you guys charter bused everywhere back in the day. Now they have planes and private planes and jets and all this stuff. Yeah. Any good travel stories out there? Like, I always feel like a St. Bonaventure story is always a good one. But do you have any other ones?
They packed the house. Their visitor locker room was the only one more terrible. It was them and St. Joe's at the worst visitor's locker room. That ride to Bonnie's is a painful thing, always in the snow. And our rule was if we didn't win, we couldn't really talk on the bus on the way home. Or you could attempt to talk, but depending on the temperature of the gentleman in seat 1A, you would either certainly not talk or keep it to a very, very low level. Corey was always next to me. Rock sat in front of me on the bus. These, you know, I joke by saying these kids don't know they're living. But as a great fan of Fordham basketball, and a deep desire, as I know you do, and anybody going to be listening to this podcast does, for us to get things squared away, it's a necessity, right? We were one of the few that didn't charter back then. So look, that travel takes it out of you, right? I always say the nice part is I got off days, right? For game days. You know, the body, it's impactful. It's a long year. It's a long season. So I'm glad to see the investment being made in that. I certainly hope it continues. I don't know if I have any great stories that I would tell in a public forum for traveling. But we enjoyed the trip to St. John's. Virgin Islands, we did not perform well there, the level we should have. Certainly, you know, can recall some stories that we won't go into too much detail of, but the importance of getting on the bus on time was a pretty big one. And then, we'll leave it at that. But yes, I'm glad the team is currently traveling. None of the stories not being told or anything like the some of the scandals that you had heard during some of the basketball time there. But, you know, I had some great roommates. Me and Mike Benz were typically roommating, room together. Maddie Beck and I still laugh. I think it was the first game he traveled to his freshman year, my senior year. We still share a laugh about Texas A&M and something that happened there on the road. We still talk about every time I see him. So, some really good memories.
Right. You still follow the team on a regular basis. You know, I see you retweeting things, you know, staying on top of everything. You know, what do you think's going to happen year one under Coach Mike Macpaio?
I do. I'm very passionate about Fordham basketball. I'm supportive of Coach, you know, certainly supportive of Coach Ergo. I think he did a great job with what he had. You know, the decisions were made. He's back in the WCAC at Gonzaga College High School. We'll be competing against my Bishop Ireton Cardinals. I'm supportive of Coach Macpaio. You know, the game is different. It's a free agency every year. It's tough to string things together. The non-conference schedule is what it is. Let's hope it at least goes the way we need it to go, or rather it should go. We come out of that undefeated, finally spiritual high, right? Mm-hmm. Haven't been tested, but at least spirits are high. You know, look, you got to win, got to perform, particularly because unfortunately, the nature of the beast is, it's 1 year contracts. And of the A-10, if you catch a kid young who blows up, then the ACC, the Big East, and everybody else is calling, right? You know, that great year, I got a picture on my desk of me and my sister, as I mentioned, another Fordham grad, at the Barclays Center for that game a few years back, right? I mean, the Fordham will turn out. Fordham will support. We got to give, you know, got to give a product, right? So I get some of the thoughts behind the scheduling. Like I said, undefeated kind of got to be the way that goes, or else we're hurting. I'm completely supportive of Coach. Just signed a young man down from the DMV area this week. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think they'll get it going. I'm a Fordham basketball fan until they put me in the dirt, right? So I'm going to be supporting everybody and very hopeful. Got a great, and there's many of us. I have a great collection of, there's probably 10, 12 guys on a, not my team text, but on a Rams basketball text with some other fans. And I'm very hopeful. I think we certainly have the right leadership, President Tetlow, and we just got to get it going.
You know, you bring up a great point. You know, it's almost like 1 year contracts. You know, I think about that core recruiting class, and I think to myself, if this was, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, I talk to BD all the time, and he's like, well, when the North Carolina State job went open, Coach Whit might have gone there, and there were all these talks about different things. You know, if this was like, say, current basketball landscape, do you think that core would have stayed together for all 4 years?
No. No chance. And that's not a knock. That's not a comment on anybody.
Right.
People got to make business decisions. You know, I do, and I have this conversation often with fans of many schools. Well, playing for the name on the front. Well, you know, it's a business. Coaches get paid at a high level. You know, yeah, not a chance. So I'm grateful we had the moment we did, right? But the math would have just not been, for a number of guys, would have just not made sense for them likely to stay. And so it's why, you know, we got to step our game up. Spend the way you need to, because hopes and dreams don't win championships, right? We got to put our money where our mouth is, emphasis on money, to get the job done. And that's just, you know, we can bemoan it one way or the other, but here we are. So we got to step up to the plate and act as such, act like an A-10 school, more specifically act like an A-10 school that wants to win.
No, I agree with that. And speaking of business, what are you up to nowadays? Bitcoin, finance? Tell people what you've been up to.
Oh, yeah. You're following on the LinkedIn. So I work for Marsh McLennan, actually a company headquartered out of New York City, in our Tysons, Virginia office. And I work with corporations on their business insurance. So I collaborate with CFOs, CEOs, founders, private equity funds, general counsels, supporting businesses on their corporate insurance.
That's amazing. I mean, that's the thing, is amazing on the court and then taking that Fordham degree and doing some amazing things with it.
We're trying. Yeah. You know, Fordham's a great place. I am a preeminent bull on it. And I think it's only going to get stronger. The academics speak for themselves. New York City is one of one. There is no more beautiful campus in the country. So we just got to get, this men's basketball program going in the right direction, and we'll be moving.
I think they will. Last question is, who made the biggest difference in your college career? And I'm talking on or off the court, you know, who was someone or something that just, you know, stuck out for you?
Gosh. That could be a toll of the podcast. So I can't, if we're talking to who, it's the guys, you know, certainly Coach. Vita and I were roommates the year he came in, my sophomore year, his junior. We lived together in the suite that year with Rock and Dom. Yeah, I mean, you know, we love all the guys. We got to meet Tommy and Vita have a tight connection, the three of us, for a number of reasons, both personality wise and again, some funny stories that will not make the airwaves as it relates to basketball. But yeah, I mean, it's the people, like anything, right? It's the people. Yeah, we had a great team. We had a great roster. We had great guys.
Two things that just stick to my head since you mentioned them. One, okay, Coach Witt fired up. He wears his suit going in. He takes off the suit coat and throws it. Tie all whacked out. Was that just basically like, okay, we got to start playing right now?
I mean, that could have also been just a day that ends in Y, you know? yeah, you know, Coach enthusiastic, right? I'd rather that than a guy who just sits in his chair and doesn't really get too worked up. Now, that unfortunately, in this era, you know, kids can't handle that, really.
Right.
You know, he did not mince words. He came for everybody. He expected greatness from everybody, staff, player. I mean, you know, but there's also some extreme real life applications to that. That when your back's against the wall, you just got to get it done and perform. So, yeah, you know, coach's enthusiasm is well chronicled. But I take a guy like that in my foxhole any day. Right. So it made you want to play for him. And he also had a great talent in, I would say, all the time, you know, especially to some of the younger guys. His goal, and I'm reading tea leaves here, but his goal was to get us tight. Right. So he nobody was free from feedback. Right. But the whole goal was to get the locker room tight, to get the guys supporting each other, playing for each other. And I think certainly in our relationships and in some of the outcomes on the court, certainly, you know, junior and senior year, we wish a couple more W's in the win column. You know, there's a banner at least for the NIT or whatever. But when he got going and everybody knew it. So, Getting a firsthand listen to some of his conversations with the referees was certainly an education.
And then last guy you mentioned a couple of times, Nick Vita, you know, his role as it grew, you know, on campus and on those squads was amazing. Game winner in Virginia, right?
Yeah, sure did. We came down and showed those Cavaliers, and that was, I think, the last year of their old arena. Coach had never actually even won there. And that was a great pass. You know, Vita is a gifted athlete, heck of a ball player. You know, Fordham was his third school. He wanted to commit to the D1 thing and make it happen. So, yeah, he was a real difference maker for us that year. And certainly was a guy that pushed me. You know, Nick and I would go head to head a lot, and in the weight room, in sprints, and anything. He to this day is a dear friend.
Well, I appreciate you for taking some time going down memory lane. You are one of my favorite people, and only hope for the best. And appreciate you being the nicest guy on the floor anytime in those layup lines. And I just love it, man. Keep up the great success and stay in touch as always.
Yeah. Hey, Donnie, thanks for everything. You're an all-time great guy. This podcast is going to be great. You know, we'll make sure we get plenty of the other guys on it. And maybe we'll maybe down the road for season two or three, we'll do a walk-on chat and get a few more guys, get Nick and Tommy and bringing in little Maddie Beck in there or something like that and catch up on some stories.
Dude, that would be an all-time listen. I'm hoping for that one of these days. I got to get the group chat in and let's make that happen.
Yeah, we'll make that happen. We're going to have to use that edit button a little bit, but we'll make that happen.
Heck yeah, appreciate you.
thanks for everything, Donnie. This is awesome. Fordham's a great place. Fordham basketball is a great thing. Go Rams.
I want to thank Dan Blaine for giving me some time to chat about Fordham Hoops. I love it. He's just a great person. So happy for him and his family. Next week, I'm interviewing a former assistant coach, interim head coach as well. If that didn't give it away, I don't know what will. We talked for about 45 minutes, and it's the most detailed inside look at Fordham basketball that I have done up to this point. I am so excited to share it with you. It was amazing. I'm still have some goosebumps from it. It was just an amazing interview. You won't want to miss that. Thanks for listening this week. Please rate and review the podcast so we can start sharing it with the rest of the college basketball world. I'm Don Dwyer. Have a great week and go Rams.